Welcome to Freshfire's weekly podcast.
Well, whoo. I pleaded with Chrissy. I said, Chrissy, can we just carry on worshipping, please? But she said, no. Because I always feel that worship says more in a way than you can actually preach, because it kind of gets to a deeper level, but not true. Thank you, Chrissy. We need them both, I guess. And it's good to have some teaching in the body of Christ too, yeah? So I want to talk today about strengthening ourselves in the Lord. Strengthening ourselves in the Lord. You know, when we cross from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, which is what happens when we become born again, we automatically get recruited into a war, into a battle. Like it or not, we're destined to become warriors. Yeah? And in the Old Testament, God's people were in many battles to evict enemy and to take the promised land. And in the Old Testament, it was real. There were real battles. In Exodus 23, God says, I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you have inherited the land. God's plan is for always for us to inherit the land, the promised land that he has given us. But it's not always an instant thing. It's a little by little thing. And God is looking for progress in our lives and is looking for us to make steps by step by step into this promised land. In the New Testament, we're no longer talking about battles with swords and leather armor and things, but we are talking about fighting, and we do wear armor. We do wear the armor of salvation, the helmet of salvation. We do wear the armor, the belt of truth. We do wear the righteousness of Christ. We do carry faith, the shield of faith. And we do have weapons. We have the word of God. We have the truth of God. We have the authority of Christ working in us. We are definitely warriors. And God's plan for us is to have backbone, strength, and be courageous warriors, and to enjoy the victory that Christ has already won for us. Now, the reason why I'm thinking about this subject is because we as a body have, as a church, have been in a massive battle, and we still are. And there's lots of things coming against us personally. Lots of big things, lots of massive things. The devil is a fierce adversary, and he wants to break us down. He wants to take our strength out of us. He'll throw everything he can at us. He'll take, you know, he had difficulties in relationships, sickness, physical sickness, massive things that we've been praying into, cancer and things like this. People, we've got at least two people in this church in hospital at the moment. Maybe three. Yeah, so we have people in hospital that are struggling with major things, financial worries, anxiety, fear, bereavement, disappointments of many sorts, hope deferred. I could go on. But what are we to do? Are we going to fight back? Yeah. We're going to fight back. And we're going to find our strength in the Lord. And we can guarantee that all these things will only make us stronger and only make us fiercer. That's what God wants. He wants fierceness in us. He wants us to be like lions. And I'm sure you're familiar with the story of wonderful David. Or maybe if you're not, I'm going to give you a little abbreviated story. Now, David's story begins as a young lad looking after his father's sheep. And he had a prophetic declaration over his life from Samuel. He was going to be king. He was anointed as king. He was only a young lad. It was going to be many years before that actually happened. 10, 14 years later. Next, we see him in a massive confrontation with the giant, Philistine giant, Goliath. And we know that little David beat big Goliath. And that earned him. That was amazing. In fact, before that, he said he'd been training when he was looking after the sheep. He'd actually killed a lion and a bear. Must have been a pretty amazing young man. Didn't have a gun, didn't have a sword. He used stones and a sling. But the battle with Goliath won him favour with the King Saul. And he ended up in the palace of Saul. And he made best friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. But the king began to get jealous of David. He heard the latest pop song that said, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. Oh my goodness, that wasn't good for Saul to hear. He got very, very jealous. He began to try and kill him. And David had to flee. And in his fleeing, he started collecting the rejects of society around him. And what I think is amazing, it says that he made them into mighty men of valour. These people that could have just ended up as, you know, the homeless sitting around in the shop fronts of Manchester at night, the type that weren't successful and didn't have lots of money. But he called them to himself and he led them to a place where they became mighty men of valour. They became leaders themselves. That gives us great hope, doesn't it, for working with people, you know, that God can transform lives completely. And eventually, David had to move his men from Israel to the enemy territory, into the Philistine country. Then he had to move from there. He went back to Israel. Disaster. The place where all the wives and the children were had been taken over by the enemies. They'd taken all the children and the wives away. So here was David. He'd been rejected by his own people. He'd been rejected by the king. He'd been rejected by his enemies. He was starting to be rejected by his own men because he heard them. He overheard them saying, let's kill him. Let's kill him. Look what he's done to us. Let's stone him. Now David was truly rejected. Rejected, rejected, rejected. He was at risk of being killed. What does he do? Run for his life? Attempt to defend himself? What happens when we're under pressure? Do we panic? Do we blame others? Do we blame ourselves? That's one. But none of those things did David do. The Bible says in 1 Samuel that David strengthened himself in the Lord. In the massive pressure he was under, even his own men saying they wanted to kill him, he went to God and he found his strength in God. And when David drew close to God, this was not unfamiliar territory for David. He'd been doing this for years and years and years. He knew how to seek the face of God. Years of testing, years of character development. And if you feel you've been tested recently, if you are currently in that place, and I know some people are, we know that God is at work and he's preparing you for something bigger and better. You will come through it and you'll be the stronger for it. God never allows anything to come our way that isn't for a plan and a purpose. All things work together for good for those that love God and according to his purposes. Even the most difficult things that our precious brothers and sisters in the church have been going through, God is totally faithful. And he gave him the strength to master his own distress in the situation. He gave him the strength to master the rejection. And his faith gave him the courage. And you know what? Those men came back to him. He said, come on, guys, let's go and take the enemy. Let's go and take them back. We're not giving up at this point. Let's go and take back our wives and our children. And he called them back to the purposes. This is a true leader for you. And they came. They followed him. They saw something in him, and they said, you know, that's what the world needs for us, to have something that they want to follow, something that inspires people, something that gives them vision, gives them purpose. apart from, you know, the daily toil. So David strengthened himself in the Lord. And this is a vital skill for all of us. And we're going to, if we're going to achieve our full potential. And I'm just going to pull out a few verses from Hebrews that I've been reading recently that have found some pointers about how we can strengthen ourselves. So firstly, in Hebrews chapter 3, I'm actually using the Passion Bible. But if you want to look it up, you can do Hebrews chapter 3. In these first few verses, we are reminded to fasten our thoughts fully onto Jesus, whom we embrace as our apostle and our king, priest. He was faithful to the Father who appointed him. And in a later chapter, we're told to fix our gaze on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. This gaze is not just a physical gaze. It's a heart gaze. It's what we've been doing in worship. It's our attention. It's our love. It's our trust. In Ephesians, Paul prays that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us. So we express our trust to him. We look to him. We fix our heart steadfastly on him. And we do what he says. What is he saying to us in the situation we find ourselves in? Do we trust him to communicate with us? You know, I don't remember many dreams. I do have dreams. We all have dreams. You know that. Everyone has dreams every night. And just occasionally I remember them. And yesterday I remember this one. And it's only very brief. But I said these words twice. And then I woke up. And it was, my father is a spy. He signed the Official Secrets Act. And I said it again, my father is a spy. And he signed the Official Secrets Act. And then I woke up. And I can tell you, my father is the most unlikely spy in the entire world. He was actually a university professor, and he was not the sort of person that would be a spy at all. So I was saying, God, what is this? Why would I say that about my dad? And what I felt God say was, somebody that is a spy and signs the Official Secrets Act doesn't communicate very much, doesn't speak very much, keeps everything under wraps and doesn't really say anything. And I felt like God say, that's not what he's like. That he was just showing me that you have been brought up in a family situation where there's no communication, there's no honesty, there's no reality about the relationship. It's all under wraps. It's secret. And that does impact you. That impacts your relationship with the Father. But I felt like the Father say that's not the Heavenly Father. He does not hold everything in into himself. He doesn't hold it all back. He's a generous God. He wants to communicate. He wants to speak. He wants to give us things. And if anyone else feels that that's the way they've been brought up, then, you know, I would just challenge you to come and just be prayed for today and just find that God is a loving Father that wants to communicate in situations. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to focus on him. He wants the eyes of our heart to be focused on him. And then he wants to communicate what his agenda is in the situation. I was really challenged recently. I don't think Jazz is here today. Jasmine and I were in the car trying to get somewhere, and the sat-nav broke, and the phone broke, the sat-nav on the phone. And that is disastrous for me because I've got no sense of direction. And there's a particular place that I've got lost 3 times on the run, near Dunham Massey. And this is where we found ourselves. It was a black hole in terms of communication with the sat-nav and the phone. Nothing was working. And then we're just going round and round and round in circles, getting more and more frustrated. It was very late meeting somebody. And afterwards, I said to Jasmine, why didn't we just stop and ask the Holy Spirit? You know, why should technology come before the Holy Spirit's technology? And I had to repent and say, sorry, God, getting all stewed up. We could have just asked you. And we could have trusted that you would speak and you would guide. Because asking is one thing, but trusting that God will actually lead you is a very different ball game. You know, he's a God that doesn't just want a one-way conversation. He wants to come back to us and lead us. And we have to trust that he's doing that. And we heard yesterday, not that I was here, but I did see the notes. You know, we have the mind of Christ. It's awesome stuff. We have the mind of Christ. God wants to give us his thoughts about things, about situations. And yeah. And he will be faithful. This is the God that knows every time a sparrow falls to the ground. I love this verse in Matthew 10. It says, a sparrow doesn't fall from its nest without the knowledge of the Father. Jesus himself says, aren't you worth much more to God than sparrows? And he knows his situation and he knows everything about it and he can be trusted to work it out. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, and this includes the eyes of our heart so that he can guide us and lead us. So firstly, in terms of our strengthening ourselves, we have that communion with God. Secondly, in Hebrews 3:12, it says, we're warned not to be like the unbelieving and rebellious ones who fell in the wilderness. Why did they fall? Because they complained and they murmured that God wasn't giving them what they needed. They hadn't got the right food. They weren't happy with it. Look, you know, he's made a mistake. Let's go back. Let's go back, they said. Let's look back. And the Bible says, search your hearts every day, my brothers and sisters. Make sure that none of you has evil or unbelief hiding within you, for it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. This is what unbelief does. It makes us unresponsive to what God wants to say to us. In verse 19, it says, it is clear that they could not enter into their inheritance because they wrapped their hearts in unbelief. Now, an unbelief is like lies that are around our hearts that stop us being able to respond to God and love him in the way that we've been encouraged so amazingly today by the worship group. Now, I haven't run in a marathon, believe it or not. I have tried Couch to 5K a few times and haven't got past the first week. But but if I was going to do a marathon, I don't think I'd be doing it wearing a Bugs Bunny suit or a Dalek suit or any other sort of suit that would encumber me. And, you know, I would want to have the lightest clothes possible. And that's what it's saying here. You can't run after God with all your heart if you've got lots of stuff wrapped around your heart that is holding you back. We're told repeatedly, cast it off. Cast it off. All the untruths, all the lies, all the things that are not true from God, cast them off. If you were here yesterday, I believe Christy was talking about up to 80% of what we have in our head is untrue. It's lies. It's things we believe that aren't godly truth. Here's the battle. God has an inheritance for us. We are to walk into it. He promises one degree of glory to another degree of glory. But if we're wrapped up with stuff, we can't move forward. Brett was referring to that story about the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus was repeatedly trying to train his disciples. And it says at one point, the disciples had not understood because their heart was hardened. You know, Jesus is trying to train us all the time. He's trying to teach us things. And we want to be able to respond to what he's teaching, don't we? We don't want to find that we can't do what he wants us to do because we've got stuff that's backing up behind and is wrapping us around. Let's throw off the lies. Let's throw off the unbelief. Thirdly, how can we tell if we're trusting God fully? Well, in Hebrews 4, it speaks about faith rest. God has offered us the same promise of entering into his realm of resting in confident faith. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest. So when a promise meets faith, it activates it into life. But the realm, it talks here about entering into the realm of rest, the realm of God. God's realm, we cease from our works. We cease from our striving. It's already completed. Do you know what? It was finished at the foundation, before the foundation of the world. It's finished. We can celebrate the finished work. The essence of faith is not just intellectual agreement, but practical trust and rest. Don't forget, God has seen ahead and he knows how to prepare us. Today is part of his goodness to us. Today we can rest in his loving care. We can rest. In fact, we are instructed to be restful people, to rest in his promises, to rest in his ability to accomplish what we can't. We're instructed to rest. And fourthly, and one of my favourite passages of scriptures, is Hebrews 4:12. We have the living word of God, which is full of energy, and it pierces more sharply than a two-edged sword. The word penetrates and exposes our heart state. What do we believe in this situation? The ultimate question is, can God be trusted in this situation? Is his word true? Is his word true? Now, my Paschal Bible gives another translation of this verse, which I think is really interesting. It says, we have the living word of God, which is full of energy. It pierces more sharply than a two-mouthed sword. A two-mouthed sword. And and in the notes it says, God speaks, and then we speak in agreement the same word. So that is powerful, isn't it? Where God speaks, it's a two-mouthed sword. So we know that in Revelation it talks about Jesus and how he, in all his glory, fantastic picture of him, what was coming out of his mouth, two-edged sword. Jesus is the word, the living word of God. And it's a two-mouthed sword. So we say the word of God, and or we hear the word of God, we speak the word of God, and we say it ourselves. So it's a chop, chop, that beheads the lies. This is where declaration comes in, and it's powerful. And our circumstances must be defined by the word of God. And we need to constantly train our minds and think in agreement with it. We must treasure the word. We must be like Mary, ponder it in our hearts, meditate on it, speak it. I've been watching, I know Gail works at a place called Oasis, which is a drop-in centre in Gorton in Manchester, Christian drop-in centre, fantastic place. And they have been blessed to actually make enough money to actually build a new building, purpose build. They've been waiting, I think it's about 15 years. They've been so faithful. And I've been watching it being built, this building. And one day, they put the timber frame. I watched how they did the foundations. They put a timber frame around, and then they pour the cement into the timber frame. And our words are like that frame. We frame things with our words, with what we speak. We need to be speaking what God speaks, not our own things, because by those words, things are framed. Things are framed, things are made, things are created. As we speak those things, God can pour in his cement, his work, his life into the situation. That's where things change, when we come fully into agreement with the word of God. So God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. chop. I have not got a spirit of fear. I've got a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Chop. Devil. Yeah, the... By your wounds, I am healed. Your word says, by your wounds, Jesus, we are healed. Chop. Yes. By your wounds, I am healed, God. Thank you. Chop. And yeah, we need to really use these weapons. There's no good calling us warriors if we don't use the weapons that God has already given us. So... So, I'm just going to read from Psalm 84. In fact, I'm going to ask you to stand up, please. Very politely. Let's stand. Psalm 84 says, how enriched are they who find their strength in the Lord? God wants to enrich us. He wants to fill us. Within their hearts are the highways of holiness. Even when their paths wind through the dark valley of tears, they dig deep to find pleasant pools where others find pain. How amazing is that? God always wants us to find pools of provision, even in very difficult times. He gives them a brook of blessing, filled from the rain of outpouring. They go stronger and stronger with every step, and the God of all gods will appear before them in Zion. What a promise is that? God, even in the midst of difficulties, and we have been facing difficulties here, a lot of us, thank you, God, that you want to strengthen us, God. You only allow things, Lord God. You only allow these things, Lord God, in order to make us stronger, Lord God, in order to make us warriors, in order to make us fighters, Lord God. Father, today we say we're sorry, Lord, if we've not focused our attention fully on you, Jesus. If we haven't listened to what you said, if we've not spoken the true word of God out, Lord God, We haven't been ruthless maybe with lies, with unbelief in our lives, God. So we say we're sorry, Lord God. Lord God, we want to be changed. We want to be strengthened, Lord. We want to be strong warriors, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord God. Change us, Lord God. Father, change us, Lord God. Fill us, Lord God, to overflowing, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that difficulties, Lord, you only want to bring outpouring. You only want to bring blessing, Father. You only want to prepare us, Lord, for more of your life, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that you can be trusted, Lord God, and we can rest in your presence, Lord God. Father, we can rest and trust you in every circumstance, Lord, even though we don't fully understand it, Lord. Yes, Father, we can. We can rest in you. We can rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless you.